morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Luke, looking at chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible, there is one on the back of the pews. It is black. You feel free to grab that and use it. And I'm just going to read out of Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21, if you would stand with me as we read God's word. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And be seated. Last week we discussed the parable of the sower, looking specifically at the obstacles to hearing and believing the gospel. Today's text is actually going to be a continuation of that particular thought, where Jesus is going to drive home this idea of what it means to listen and to obey, and how those are clear indications of one's heart, and therefore they are the clear evidence that one is part of the true family of God. The title of the message today is The Family of God. And we are going to see from the text that the children of God are going to be careful how they listen and intentional about what they do. So as we begin and we see Jesus driving home this particular point, he makes it quite clear that, number one, the children of God should be careful how they listen. In verse 18, take care then how you hear. To take care how you hear is different than just simply hearing. So it indicates that there's some intentional activity involved in how you're hearing, because you're taking care to do so. It's really the difference between hearing and listening. And I know that there are a lot who use the term interchangeably, but there is a difference. Listening actually describes intentional activity in which I am trying to hear something in order to discern what it is that I'm hearing. Whereas just hearing takes no effort at all. Listening does. So when he says we need to take care to hear, he is saying that we need to be intentional in how we hear, or we need to listen. This is one of the first lessons that we learn as children, or one of the first lessons that we at least teach our children to learn how to listen. Now, the lesson isn't going very well. So there seems to be a difficulty, especially with the boys. If they are doing something and you are trying to talk to them, it's like, you know, you're in two different dimensions. And they hear what you say. And sometimes they can even repeat back exactly what I say word for word, but it doesn't connect. They don't realize that what I just said meant that they have to go do something. And so we have to go through the process. All right, let's get rid of whatever's distracting you. Look at me, okay? Do you have your listening ears on? That's a common theme in my house, all right? Are you listening? And then it takes effect. Then they understand. Listening takes effort and concentration. So in connection to the parable of the sower that we discussed last week, those who listen are those where the seed falls on the fertile soil. So in verse 15, which Scott covered last week, it says they are those who hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and thus bear fruit with patience. So because of their hearing, they take it to heart, and then out of that they bear fruit. So those who listen have heard, they understood the truth, they respond in faith to the truth, and they begin to bear fruit. And you'll notice what is sandwiched between verse 15, where he says those who hear the word are going to bear fruit, and verse 18, where he says take care how you hear, is another really short parable that is going to talk about what it means to bear fruit, what that looks like when you are bearing fruit. So he says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. As you read the New Testament, you get the indication or the understanding or the impression that Jesus and his apostles are never really ambiguous about what it takes to receive salvation or what happens to you after you have received it. So the very premise of the good news of the gospel of Christ is that God in the flesh humbled himself, died on the cross in order to provide forgiveness of sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, so that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when we recognize that we are condemned sinners and we are in desperate need of a Savior and we experience that deep inward trust of Christ, then ultimately, the Bible says we will be saved. But we can't put a period here at this point, because the gospel does not end in this statement. It doesn't. This is not where Christianity ends. It's actually where Christianity begins. So salvation is just the first step. It's the beginning stages of what is to come. It's not the end all of Christianity or the message of Christ. How ludicrous would it be for someone to give birth to a child and then say, I'm done. The child, I've given them birth, I've given them life, that's all they need, and walk away. Well, we understand that's not all they need. They need to be nurtured. They need to grow. A child needs so much more to develop. Life doesn't stop just at birth. And it's just as ludicrous for us to say that all I need is salvation, and once I receive it, then I'm done and I can just move on with life and there's nothing else to it. So Jesus eliminates this kind of thinking by using a common everyday item to make a point, the lamp. And the purpose of the lamp, once you light the lamp, the whole reasoning behind it is to illuminate a room that is dark. No one lights a lamp just to cover it up or just to stick it under the bed where it can't be seen. It doesn't make sense to use a lamp in that way. There would be no point in lighting it. And when we light a lamp, we are doing so for the purpose of seeing. And so we put it on a stand so that it illuminates the whole room. The lamp has a purpose. In the same way, God doesn't simply save us for the sake of saving us. He has a purpose for us. And as believers, we are meant to shine like stars in the universe. J.C. Ryle says that the gospel which we possess was not given us only to be admired, talked of, and professed, but to be practiced. It was not meant merely to reside in our intellect and memories and tongues, but to be seen in our lives. So this is not the hide in the background, sit on the benches and quietly live where no one knows who we are or what kind of life we should be living. That's not what Christ has called us to. No, once we received the light, we should put it on display. I mean, that's ultimately what he's saying. Once you've received the light of Christ and the message of the truth, you in your life should put that on display up high for all to see. Those who hear and bear fruit, they don't just hide the light, they let it shine. They don't suppress the truth, they proclaim it. Once we have received the salvation, what comes with it is forgiveness, cleansing, a new birth, a right standing before God, a relationship with God. The God that we were once separated from. We who were once dead in our sins are made alive in Christ. We who were once lost in darkness are called into his marvelous light. We who were once far off have been brought near to him by the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Our lives have been transformed. Our old selves buried with Christ in death. We are made alive again in him. We are raised with Christ in life. Salvation does more than simply change your status. It changes your life. So the Bible is quite clear about this. And let me tell you that if you are simply going through the motions of religion that and you're hoping that somehow you're buying your ticket to heaven, you better keep your receipt, because you're going to want to get your money back on that deal. And don't say you didn't get the memo. You got the memo. Salvation is meant to be lived. We are meant to have fellowship with God, a relationship that is deep and meaningful and powerful. We are meant to be holy and to flee from sin. We know the truth. We are called to live by it. And just as the Bible calls Jesus the light of the world, so we who have placed our faith in Christ have been called to display that light in the world. We don't cover that up. So we are meant to be obedient to the word of God, not just hearing it, but doing it. Not just hearing it and learning about salvation and becoming saved, but allowing that to be a part of who we are and displaying that in the world. We're meant to be set apart from the world, living as citizens of the kingdom of God and as aliens or sojourners in the kingdom of the world. We're not meant to make this place our home. This is not our kingdom. We are merely visiting. We belong to the kingdom of God if we have professed our faith in Christ. So we are called to love truth and to hate sin, to love one another and to hate injustice, to love what is right and to hate what is evil. And salvation is meant to be lived so that we shine like stars in the universe, becoming blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. This is what salvation being lived out is supposed to be. And maybe not all at once. It doesn't just all come to us at once or happen at once. And in fact, Scripture says that we are being transformed into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. So in verse 17, he says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." There is nothing hidden that will not one day be made known. We may not physically see Christ now, but we will. The world may not fully believe Christ. The world may reject Christ, but one day it won't. People will listen. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so we are not meant to keep that secret. To keep secret what is meant to be revealed. We should not hide what will one day be made clear to all. Rather, our purpose is to shine brightly so that others can see now. Our purpose is to display the glory of God so that some might be saved. And this is what bearing fruit looks like. Those whose seed fell on the good soil. The light that shines is the message of the truth that is revealed to those who are careful to listen. Jesus says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Hear this. The world needs to see some authenticity from Christians. And I don't know if you realize it or not, I'm sure you do, but the world seems to be very confused. Confused about what is right and wrong. Confused about gender, sexuality, confused about when life begins, confused about how life should end. And we can quickly see how this confusion continues to flood into the simple mundane things of life that we've taken for granted for all of our lifetime. We don't even know which restroom we're supposed to use. The world seems to be really confused. But what the world needs to see from the church is stability and authenticity in the midst of a culture flooded with confusion and chaos. The last thing we need right now is to be confused about what we believe. And the Christian response to the shifting morality of America should be a steadfast and immovable zeal for the truth, not quiet indignation, not silent conformity, zeal for truth. In a culture that is hostile to the idea of God's existence, we should rise up in an unwavering zeal for the glory of God and a burning passion and concern for others and their salvation. In a world that unapologetically grows increasingly more intolerant of Christianity, we should respond by becoming better Christians. We must become a people who are zealous for good deeds, driven by the transforming work of Christ. When God's existence stands in direct opposition to the direction of our country, we should be making the most of every opportunity, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing all things for the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the highest forms of irreverence to the name of God is a failure to live and proclaim the truth of God's word. And when it comes right down to it, most of the time, I mean, we can talk about all of the distractions and all of the different religions and all of the different thoughts and all of the different false teachers and people in the world that bring confusion and misunderstanding. But most of the time, when we get right down to it, our failure to live and proclaim God's truth is due to our own laziness, our own indifference, our failure to seriously study God's word, and our lack of a vigorous prayer life. When we get right down to it, most of the time that's what causes that. We just don't always take the time to be intentional about listening to what God has to say and putting it into practice in our lives. And this is not only a problem for us personally, but it's devastating to the church. We will be unprepared to meet the challenges that will come in the future in this new cultural climate if we haphazardly minimize our deep conviction for biblical truth. We are in danger when people don't listen to God, don't have a burden for the glory of God, and don't hold one another accountable to the truth of God's word. And in living this way, we suppress the truth, hide the light, we drift farther away from it. So just going through the motions of religion with no passion or zeal for the truth of God, I believe, will be ruin for God's people. It may be very well a sign that the secular culture and secular world has infiltrated the inner sanctum of our spiritual lives, when even in the religious things that we do make us indifferent and apathetic towards God and don't move us to passion and zeal. So church, we need to heed Jesus' warning and be careful how we listen, because our faithfulness and our fruitfulness depend on that. Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." So here he contrasts two sets of people, the haves and the have-nots. And so he's making this contrast to say, those who have, more is going to be given. Those who have not, even what they think they have, is going to be taken away. It's going to be removed. They're going to lose it. What is being indicated here is that those who carefully listen with intent, understand the truth, proclaim the truth, live the truth, let the light shine, it is they who are responding to God in faith. And to them, Jesus says, more will be given. To those who have, they will be given more. Meaning the more we listen, the more we live faithfully and authentically in the world, the more we hear and listen intently, the more we will receive. People who listen to Christ and follow Christ and obey Christ will naturally grow more, and out of their growth, they will naturally receive more and do more. More will be given. People often say, "I just want to know God's will for my life." It's not hard to know God's will. I've said it before, I will say it again. It's not hard to know God's will. Simply read his word. He says over and over and over again, "This is my will for you in Christ Jesus. This is my will for you." He tells us his will. He declares that. We read that. We're meant to walk as he walked. Imitate him. Follow in his footsteps. Walk in love keep his commandments, trust him, learn from him. We are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. We are to be sanctified, to abstain from sexual morality, to control our own bodies in holiness and honor. And the list goes on and on and on. This is God's will for you. It's not hard to find that. You say, well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, what does God specifically have for me? Listen, we ought not be too worried about trying to discover some special will for our lives if we are not even willing to do what he has already declared is his will for our life. If you're not doing what he has already said is his will for your life, then I don't think that you should be too concerned about trying to find out some kind of other special will for your life. And if you read his word and learn his commands and do what he says, you will no longer need to ask the question, what is God's will for my life? Because it will be abundantly clear, because Jesus says the one who has more will be given. And Jesus contrasts those who have with those who have not. From the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. To the one who fails to listen, even what they think they know will be lost. They fail to put it into practice. And I don't know if you ever learn something and then you just never practice it and it goes away. I spent a lot of time and a lot of energy learning hundreds of Greek words and Hebrew words. I don't even know what they look like anymore. If you don't put them into practice every day, I mean, we don't just walk in here and speak Greek. If we did, I would learn a lot more about that. I would be able to remember those words. But when we don't put it into practice, we forget. Those who fail to listen, who fail to respond to God, who respond to God even with indifference or superficial conviction or confusion, are like the seeds that fell on the non-fertile soils. Their belief is trampled and devoured and withered and choked out. They have knowledge because they've heard, but they do nothing with that knowledge, and therefore they will lose what little they already have. And it's here that we move beyond simply the hearing of God's word, and we start to see the necessity of actually putting it into practice. So that while Jesus emphasizes the importance of hearing, he does not do so without also emphasizing the importance of following or doing what has been heard. So that the children of God, something that represents the characteristics of being part of the family of God, is that we listen intently. But the second thing is that we are intentional about what we do. The children of God are careful how they listen and intentional about what they do. So Luke begins to tell a story and represents Jesus' response to this story, where Jesus is going to use this teachable moment. Luke says, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' And he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Now, if you're a mother or your brother, you might be like, well, that's not very nice. You know, your family's here to see you, and you're like, meh, they're not really my family. My real family is those who hear the word of God and do it. This wasn't a sleight of hand or a way of insulting them. It was a way for Jesus to take this moment and use that to teach an even deeper truth that the family of God is more than just bloodlines. That it is something quite deeper and quite different. And so he just goes through this whole process of teaching about hearing. Those who hear and listen and respond with faith and put that into practice, they are my mother and my brothers. They are part of the family of God. Luke is ultimately summing up this message with the short story about Jesus and how he responds. Take care then how you hear is really the theme. But it's useless to hear if you are not going to do it. Careful hearing is intrinsically tied to doing. Hearing is key, but only as it leads to doing, so that we see of those who have, they don't just hear, they listen with the intent to obey. Whereas those who have not hear, but don't put it into practice and thus lose what they have. And all that Jesus is teaching about careful hearing finds its meaning in intentional doing. It finds its fulfillment in that, and that's how it all comes together. It is the reason Jesus says we need to be careful listeners so that we can be doers of the word. And this is a distinguished characteristic of those who belong to the family of God. We should be listening. We should be doing. Here Jesus makes it abundantly clear that the family of God consists of those who hear the word of God and do it. These are my mother and my brothers. Interestingly enough, James, who is the brother of Jesus, and at the time we have some indication that James and a lot of his family didn't actually accept or believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So there was some rejection along the way. Well, they come to see him. And some say that it's likely they come to see him to talk to him and maybe even to talk him out of being kind of crazy and being so radical in some of these things. Whatever the case may be, they had come to see him and there was all of the crowd of people pressing against Jesus and they couldn't get to him. And so they say to his disciples, hey, go tell Jesus that we're here. James could very well have been a part of that group. He's one of the brothers of Jesus. James will later go on to ultimately be the pastor of the Jerusalem church and the author of the book of James. And in the book of James, it's interesting that he carries this exact same theme. Like James learned something that day. Here's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Listen and do. So James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The one who has will be given more. He will be blessed in his doing. It's in both hearing and doing that we allow the root of the Word of God to plant itself deeply within our hearts. It creates the foundation that we should stand firm on. So we listen to the truth and that truth becomes our foundation. Interestingly enough, Jesus also uses this same theme in chapter 6. Now, we've already done chapter 6. Maybe you remember it. Back in chapter 6, he says, the one who hears my word and does it is like the man who builds his house on a rock. So the storms come. The winds blow against the house, but they can't shake it because it has been built well. What does it take for a believer to be built well? Listen, do. Listen and do. That's the message that he is proclaiming here. If you place your trust in Jesus, then your life should be marked by obedience to the truth of God's word and a willingness to follow in his footsteps despite the cost. We cannot follow God without the guidance of his word, which means we must be careful to listen, to learn, to do what it says. And if we love God, if we hold God to be ultimately more valuable than anything else in life, then our love for him will be expressed in our obedience to him and our desire to serve him and live for him. And that's what it means for us to be a part of the family of God, that we listen to the Father and we follow his instructions. We do what he says. We do everything to honor the name that we've been given, the name of the family that we belong to. We have to be careful to listen, intentional to do. My son was drawing a picture the other day. And there's this church on his paper. And there's a road going to the church. It's a straight line. He's meticulously drawing cars. So he has a line of cars going to the church. And then the last car, he has veering off somewhere else. And so as we're, you know, I'm looking at the picture and he's explaining the picture to me. He says, Dad, these cars, these guys are going to church. And he's like, this last guy, he's going to bow down to idols. And I thought, what a deeply profound truth. I actually love that. Not that the guy is going to bow down to idols, But the fact that my six-year-old is in his mind, there are only two paths. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship something else. And in his mind, we see a profound truth. We make things so unbelievably complicated, but it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. If you are not worshiping God, you are worshiping something else. And living a life of worship and devotion to God involves listening to what he says and being obedient to him. It's more than just superficial spiritual platitudes. Because if that's all you have nothing. And all that you're doing right now is in vain. While the proclamation of truth is essential, the application of that truth is just as important. We are called to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord. So that he didn't just save us to save us. He saved us so that we can walk and be like him and become like Christ in life. We are called to live in obedience to God, to let our light shine and proclaim the truth of Jesus, and all of that for the sake of a world that denies his existence. Scripture teaches that it is Jesus who saves. It's Jesus who forgives, who changes us, who convicts us, who converts us, who restores us. For those who repent and believe in Christ, they will live with God forever, perfected and glorified. And that's really the point. The Bible is a message about the people of God who are being restored to perfection, both perfection in life, but also in a perfected relationship with the Father. And God is taking that which is broken and sinful and transforming it into something that displays the greatness of the glory of God. And that's really our purpose, to display God's glory. So how brightly does your light shine? How high of a stand are you willing to put your life on to let others see the glory, the light of Christ? Be careful how you listen. Be intentional about what you do.